You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey everybody, Scott Fowler here, sports columnist at the Charlotte Observer, and welcome back to another episode of Processing Blue. This week we have a very special guest joining the podcast. It's former Carolina Panthers quarterback Jake DeLone. For those of you who are somewhat new to the Panthers, Jake was the QB for the Panthers for seven seasons from 2003 to 2009 and helped Carolina reach Super Bowl 38 in his very first season as a Panther. He now is also the Carolina Panthers' primary radio analyst and lives in Louisiana with his family. How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing good, Scott. How about yourself?
Doing well, except it's been a rough season, hasn't it? This has been a tough one for everyone involved.
Yeah, it's been really tough. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, there's frustration, and certainly I'm not a player anymore. I just get to call the games on radio, but it's been tough. I don't think we anticipated, or should, I know I didn't anticipate, and Panther fans anticipate, you know, the type of issues we've had, we were going to have this season. I didn't think we were that playoff caliber team. I thought last year there was a chance we could be a fringe playoff caliber team because I wasn't sure about our division, but I thought we could go six wins, maybe seven this year. And, you know, the ball bounces your way once or twice. You never know, but, didn't think it would be this way. And, quite honestly, I really didn't think we'd have an interim coach at this point of the season. I don't think anybody did. That's kind of, you know, to me, that's a normal way of thinking, but it just hasn't worked out this way.
Right. Two interim coaches in two straight seasons. That's pretty rare for the NFL, isn't it?
You know, and it's I truly believe Dave, Mr. Tepper, I don't think he looks forward to doing that. I think he's dying to find the right person and then kind of let them go. I truly believe that. And, you know, hopefully this next person, whoever it may be, that can be the one. But it's been different the last couple of years. You know, you kind of felt with the Matt Rhule situation, if things didn't go well, maybe something could have happened. That it just felt that way. You know, last year, because there was some talent on that football team last year and it just didn't start out that well. And going into this year, I don't think we're nearly as talented as we were last year, in my opinion. And starting a rookie quarterback, it's difficult. It's hard. So, but it happened and here we are.
We'll get into Bryce Young a lot here in a second. But before we do that, I'm just interested in your thoughts. Since we are, it's a blank slate right now as to who the next coach is going to be. What are your thoughts on what qualities that person should be? And do you have any favorites that you think, they got to do this or they definitely should not do that?
I just don't know. I don't ever want to label somebody that, we have to go offense, we have to go defense, and it's got to be this. I mean, if you go back, and I think it's kind of funny, I love whenever certain coaches got hired and you hear people in the media, oh, gosh, what an awful press conference. It was terrible. You'll never be able to coach. That was Nick Sirianni. They said that about him.
Really?
Nick Sirianni, he was talking about watering a tree and to water and let the roots grow. And people were like, what is he trying to say? You'll be overwhelmed. Well, that's not the case. You know, Dan Campbell talked about biting kneecaps, and he got crucified for that. Well, he can coach pretty good, you know. So you get things like that, and I'm not so sure about Jonathan Gannon, what eventually will happen in Arizona. But, you know, his first press conference, people. But that's a team that, I'm going to be very honest, I don't think there's a ton of talent kind of on that football team. And they're fighting and scratching, and you know, they won a game or two, a couple of games, and they get their quarterback back. So who knows how they'll end up. But you would like to, you would think offense would probably be the way, just because that's the way the NFL wants. That's the way of the world. And right now, the NFL world is what I mean by that. But, you know, who's to say EJ doesn't have an opportunity to interview with his job? You know, I think he's done a really good job with our defense, and he's pretty darn professional, and he's pretty impressive. And, you know, what the patchwork he's had to do with this defense, with the injuries that we've had. So who's to say he's not one that's involved in this? And maybe there's a dark horse somewhere along the way that it comes in, and they feel that they can do the right thing. And when they're in their meetings, when they are getting interviewed, and they lay out a plan how they want it to be, and the brass, that is Mr. Tepper and whoever else is in that small knit group that's going to hire the coach, they'll have to make that decision.
Do you like Ben Johnson, who pulled out of last year?
Yeah, I don't know him at all. Don't know him in the least bit, but he seems pretty impressive, and I will say that. And, yes, he's North Carolina ties. I know he was at North Carolina. He seems pretty impressive. I like what they do offensively. They'll have some razzle-dazzle in there. I think Jared Goff has really played some good football. He was kind of a cast-off. He was written off, so to speak, and he's done some really good things. And so, but to say I know enough about him, that would be a lie. It looks like he's done some really good things, to be quite honest. And I like what they do running the football. I really like that. I mean, they're a power running type football team. I'm a big believer in that. I like that power running type stuff. Especially, I think the pieces we have, our offensive line, it seems like that's kind of what we're made or who we are, I guess you could say, up front with some of our guys.
Ran for more than 200 yards in this most recent game and got back into what it looked like a little bit a year ago at this time. You mentioned earlier, Jake, to go back to this, but you said you thought this team just really didn't have the same level of talent as the 2022 Panthers. What makes you say that, and where do you see the deficiencies?
Well, my thing was this: Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore. You lose those two pieces on offense, that's difficult. That's very hard. Robbie Anderson actually had a decent 21 season. And so pairing him with DJ, you know, there's that speed element. I was hoping Terrace Marshall would make that jump last year. And so, you know, you had that over the top, and DJ, I just thought, was a very talented football player. And that's the only way the trade happened. I mean, Chicago wanted that piece, and you can't blame them. You know, he's a heck of a football player. Christian, he had some injury issues, but anytime he was on the field, he's just a special player. And, you know, so I just thought, and then Baker coming over, a veteran quarterback took a team to the playoffs, something to prove type of situation. And the fallback guy would have been Sam, who I was a fan of Sam. I thought Sam did some decent things. You know, I just never worried about Sam in New York, because that's proven to be kind of difficult right now, to say the least, with the Jets and their quarterback situation. So I just thought last year's team had an opportunity to kind of maybe sneak in, especially with that seventh playoff team now in each conference. So, but it didn't happen. And the team made a run, tried to kind of make a run at it, but it just didn't happen. This year, I just think, I didn't know who our true number one was going to be, wide receiver. He drafts a young kid in Mingo who reminds you of a Mohsin Muhammad body type. A player, but I think Moose, as a rookie, Moose wasn't that guy yet. You know, you go back to Steve was a kick returner. He wasn't that guy. It takes time. You know, Adam Thielen, I think everybody thought he was a nice piece to come and be a security blanket. Well, he's a lot more than that. He's become a lot more than that for this team. The last 2 weeks have been slow for him, but teams have kind of doubled him on third down. But yesterday, you know, he picked it back up. Because it was kind of almost a man-to-man all game long when we played the Saints this past Sunday. So, you know, it's just I wasn't sure where we were. And I think another thing I always kept in my mind, and maybe that was just bad thinking on me, the offensive line. We were so sound last year, meaning health. We were healthy, and the guys started every game. And this year it's just been, we knew Corbett was going to be coming back, and you always kind of wonder, when will he truly be back? And that's so difficult. But then you lose Brady Christensen, who thought he really played well last year. And then you lose in the first game of the season. And that's difficult, losing both of your guards. And it's been just revolving door, to say the least, at that position all season long.
And yeah, exactly. And offense has really been the issue, hasn't it? As you mentioned, you know, defensively, been in a lot of games. I mean, they're not losing too many like they lost to the Saints 28-6. Most games have been a one-score game, right? And they just cannot score. Can't get
forward. It's been difficult. It's been hard. It's been difficult. And even yesterday, it's 14-6. And then we're in – and you're feeling like we're in the fourth quarter. We're getting this drive. And it's like, man. We're going to go down. We're scoring here. I didn't think it would be a field goal. I said, man, we're starting to kind of get a little rhythm. Our running game was doing well. And then next thing you know, it just kind of it gets blown away. When they scored the 21st point, I'm still confused on the referee's decision of not throwing any legal touching on Derek Carr when he threw it directly to the left tackle, Andres Pete. That's difficult for me. I still can't understand how that wasn't in the next play. Jimmy Graham makes an unbelievable catch on the seam, and they're down inside the 10. They would have been backed up. It would have been a different outcome. Who knows?
Well, let's go to Bryce Young because that's your specialty, quarterbacks. And Bryce Young, I know you were high on him when he was drafted.
Sure.
As with him, right? What has been the problem?
I think a lot of the things is the rookie quarterback and the C.J. Stroud comparison. That's going to be because of the success C.J. has had so far. Now, yes, yesterday was not a good day for C.J. He was missing his tight end. He was missing Tank Dell, his explosive receiver, and it was a rough day, to say the least. And so I just think, you know, the whole Bryce deal, I've seen flashes during the course of the year with him. But we've just been inconsistent, and I think we were inconsistent sometimes protection-wise for us. We did a ton of shotgun this season. We're going a little more under center. I like that better for us. I think it gives defenses more problems or more things to think about when you're under center. I think it helps your line. And a lot of that I'm getting from my partner, Luke Kuechly, because always asking him because he's kind of like just being next to him. It's special because you just see why he was so good, so talented. And he just tells you when a quarterback's under center, I'm thinking about a lot of different things. And I think it helps our offensive line. I think somebody like Ike Kwanu, who's had he's had some issues this year, but when you're in the shotgun a ton, that defensive end, he knows I'm coming every single play. When you're under center, he doesn't know if he's getting a double team coming right at him or whatnot. It's a whole lot different. So I just think it's so hard to put your finger on it. And listening to the interview with Bryce after the game Sunday against the Saints, you can just sense the frustration. You can feel it. It's like I feel for him because there were a couple of passes I thought maybe he could have hit, to be quite honest. But then there's some other times where, you know, come on, wideouts, let's make a play. You know, a play I think could possibly be made there. So it just hasn't been it hasn't been smooth. And you have Frank calling the plays. Then you have Thomas for a couple of games. Then back to Frank and now back to Thomas. I thought Sunday against the Saints, I saw a little more of the motions and the things that the Rams did. I kind of liked that. I liked what we did. I thought that's what helped our run game a great amount. We had these ghost motion where the receivers would come and we'd fake the reverse. We did hand it to Marcet one time on the reverse. But things like that, and we're under center, it makes – the defense, they're pausing for a second. They're widening for another bit, the linebackers, and when you can hit creases. And I thought Chuba did that. But Miles Sanders, he hasn't looked like that this year. What he did Sunday on that run, and I know it was a groin injury he had in camp, if I remember correctly. And I've never asked or tried to pry, but who's to say he's been bothered by that? I'm not suggesting anything, but that was different yesterday. That run yesterday, just kind of like – he was putting the defenders in a washing machine. One step here. It looked different. It felt good. So I thought we ran block, but we were running the ball yesterday, and our run blocking was pretty darn good. It's just the pass game, we struggled yesterday. It just wasn't there. It wasn't happening.
I bet one of the plays you're talking about is the one Mingo one time did get free deep.
That was right before the half.
50-yard touchdown.
Right before the half. And that was one. And watching that from the booth, we're so high up in New Orleans. And the reason I say that, you've been in that press box. You're underneath the roof. You're so high. Right. So it looks like
the air conditioners. Yeah.
you can see everything so easy. It's so easy. But like I watched and you could see him come open. Bryce threw it and I went right to Bryce because you could just tell it wasn't going to hit. And Bryce was turning and walking the other way. And that was his way. I would have probably thrown a temper tantrum. I would have been so upset with myself. My emotions were a little bit more. But he's so calm and collected, and he just walked the other way. And that was just – that's pure frustration. And at half, you know, you're sitting there, and I'm like, man, like, how's his psyche? That's kind of my mindset. How's his psyche? I know it's got to be, you know, affecting him some. But I thought in the second half, yeah, the stats don't look great. But I thought in the second half, he still hung in there. He made plays. He still makes plays with his feet. And it wasn't someone who kind of went in a complete shell. So – listen, there's a lot to learn. I think Adam Thielen said best last week. I was listening or reading one of the quotes that he had, and he basically said, hey, Bryce will never go through another season like this. It's just hard, and we can't explain it. It just is what it is. I think receiver-wise, besides Adam, we hadn't really had that consistent type of play. And I'm not so sure we had that take-the-top guy. And because defenders are playing us tight now. Teams play is different. They play us man-to-man. They play tight. Many times on Sunday against the Saints, the safeties, they weren't getting past 7 or 8 yards. They were playing tight. So the respect factor is – but we haven't given them a reason to be quite honest. Right. You know, and that's just part of it. It happens sometimes. And so I think there's room for improvement all the way around on this football team. I still believe in the young kid. I really and truly do. I just know I could have never played as a rookie. I wasn't ready. I saw Peyton Manning struggle firsthand. I was a member of the Saints when we played them, and he threw a pick in overtime to lose the game for him. That's how we beat him. He threw a pick on the sideline. And the game seemed like it was too fast for him, of all people. So I just think it's a and certainly the C.J. Stroud comparison. That's going to be evident. But then – I watched CJ play one time in person, and I watched Bryce outplay him in Bank of America Stadium. Bryce outplayed him. There was no question about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. And you know, we played Tampa last week, and can't say that team much better than us, to be quite honest. And that is a true Hall of Fame wide receiver. That's just not words. That's a true Hall of Fame wide receiver who beat us, in my opinion, by himself, pretty much. And we were there with an opportunity to win that game. And, you know, yesterday, you can't say that. That game couldn't have gone our way. And then we play Atlanta, who I don't think is a great football team. But that's just the state of our division right now. What can we do? Can we find some positivity going into the offseason and scratch out a win just to kind of uplift the team some, so to speak? Because you just sense it, you feel it, you hear it in the voices of those players. And yeah, I'm not there every day. I'm not in meetings. I have no idea what the game plan was going in, but everything that you do here is that the guys are still, they're buying in, they're working their tail off. It just hasn't happened.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You were saying that about tight man-to-man coverage. I was thinking about the 2003 team. And how big your eyes would have gotten if people played Smitty and Muhammad like that.
Yeah, it's just, but it was the perfect scenario. It's the year three, just ascending, you know, Moose at whatever year that was for him, year 7, but just he had already been established. And then you added Ricky Prohl into that mix, and it just became, those would have been great. And, you know, hey, can we find a Steve Smith in the 3rd round? You know, Tank Dell's pretty damn impressive when you watch him in Houston. That's a 3rd round pick. I'm almost positive. Yeah, maybe 6th-9th pick. You can find some of those guys, you know, and hopefully we can add some pieces to be able to get that speed element because, That's a dangerous weapon in the NFL.
Thielen reminds me a little bit of Prohl, but would you say that? Or
yeah, no, he does. And that's the thing, you know. So if we say that, then you take the 0-3 team, and if Ricky Prohl's the number one wide receiver, I'm not sure we're in the Super Bowl that year. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest.
No, we're not.
Yeah. And it's right. not, it's no offense to Ricky, but like he wasn't right. brought there to be that number one. He was ideal. And I want to say that year, Ricky had his largest yards per catch that year because we were a down the field type team. That's what Dan Henning wanted. Few and far between when we were allowed to throw the football, but we were going to go down the field. That's one thing that was evident. Dan wanted to take shots. So, yeah, you know, Adam, I just think his toughness and the plays he's made on third and fourth down this year, he's made fourth down catches for heck against Houston, the fourth and two catch, how he came up with that, I still don't understand. But that was a catch that enabled us to continue the drive to get the win.
Maybe a difficult question for you, but I'll ask it. Did you think Frank Reich got a hook too quickly after only 11 games?
You know, it's only 11 games. I guess you could say, man, was he truly given the right opportunity? Listen, I'm not the owner of the football team, and the owner, in his words, he said, like, I didn't see the progress I wanted to see, to be quite honest. And, yeah, there was a lot of coaches on this staff and brought in some really good coaches. And was it too many? And was there – it just seemed like there was just something that Mr. Tepper didn't like, you know. So is it too quick? You'd like to think a coach might have a couple of years, but in this NFL, it's very different now. It's just very different. And I guess, you know, Dave wasn't happy with some of the progress that was being made. And I know there was this huge story that came out last week, calling it the Hunger Games and this and that. I can't answer that. I mean, that's not a cop-out because, like I said, not in meetings, not in the building every day, just to know what's being taught and stuff like that. So, you know, whether we like it or not, look, Frank's not here, and this team has an opportunity to try to win some games as we go forward. And you watch Chris Tabor, and I've got to know him a little bit. I know what kind of great special teams coach he is. And you sense him watching the interview after that game yesterday. Like he said, I don't like to lose at anything. And you can tell.
Yeah,
it's eating away at these guys because the work, they're putting in the work. I like what we're doing running the football the last couple of weeks. That's one thing I do think, you know, Chuba had 104 yards against Tampa. Yesterday, we ran for 204 as a football team. So I like what we're doing running the football-wise. If we get our pass game, you know, up to speed and maybe hit some of them shots down the field, that could help us. And sustaining drives and explosive plays, we just haven't had many of them. I think that's the thing. Every one of our scoring drives, I don't have it on me, but, you know, it's not – I'd be shocked if we have anything less than a 10-play drive. It's these long – these long sustaining drives that we have to make sure we've had a couple of goal to goal situations the last 2 weeks that we've gone backwards. You know, those are the things that we've got to capitalize on those.
Do you think the next coach, Jake, that in the same way that Ron Rivera and Cam Newton were linked or in a lot, you know, in a large sense, you and John Fox for quite some time, that those two will be sort of inextricably linked together for better or for worse?
It's always going to be that way. Doesn't matter. It's always going to be linked. Foxy and I are always linked together. That's just the way it is, Cam and Ron. So, and I guess the one thing, whoever this new coach that's going to come in, the quarterback he's going to be working with, just being around him a little bit, if you can't work with him or get along with him, there's probably a you problem. You know, it's not a Bryce problem. This is a kid that, he's extremely bright. You can tell he sees it. You can tell he has a lot on his plate. He makes a lot of the checks at the line of scrimmage. And you watch some of these young kids; they don't make a lot of checks and things like that. You know, they keeping it kind of simple and stuff like that. I'm not saying that's the answer, but Bryce is one that he can handle all those things. And so, you learn so much. You know, Bryce had all this success in high school, goes to college, SEC, best brand of football, playing against NFL players week in and week out. and had a great deal of success. And it's just, the NFL's different. It's very, very different.
And what's the biggest way it's different?
Speed, Scott. It's speed. I try to explain to people, and I had someone, Heath Shuler. I don't know if you remember Heath Shuler, yes, quarterback of Tennessee. Heath Shuler and Doug Nussmeier, they were both in their fourth or fifth year, my rookie year when I was with the Saints. And we were all close friends, you know, and Danny Werf was the other quarterback. So when we talked about it, and here I am from a directional school, Danny Werf was at Florida, Heisman Trophy winner, national champion, Nuss was from University of Idaho, and Heath from Tennessee. So we were just talking in training camp one night, and I might have said something. I was quiet back then about the speed, and they all laughed. And Heath said, you just take the best player you ever played against on defense that in college, and there's 11 of them. You know, it's not just one. There's 11 of them. And that's what it is, and the tighter windows and things like that. I watched Brock Purdy play, and I marvel at him. Now, listen, they're a good football team. It's a loaded roster. He's doing a phenomenal job. But I watched him play in college because the University of Louisiana Raging Cajuns went up to Ames, Iowa, and beat them his senior year.
Really?
They were ranked in the top 25. We beat them, and he didn't have that good of a game, to be quite honest. Now, that's a one-game sample size. That's one game that I watched, and I was like, yeah, I mean, you can tell smaller guy, gutsy and all that. Did I think he'd have the success in the NFL? Absolutely not. But it seems like, to me, he's a better pro than he was at college. I think one, it has to do with the hashes. I think he processes unbelievably fast. College is different. Those wide hashes and things like, it's just a different game. The NFL, you know, they can disguise and things like that more. And he just processes really, really quick. And he can layer the football. He can pass the football, man. He's not a thrower. So I just think you just don't know where those quarterbacks can come from. And it's been difficult for Bryce this year, making that transition. But I think it's been difficult for us as a team. And I just think it's we're going to have to add some more pieces, in my opinion, to help us kind of move forward.
To ask you a sort of a big picture question, if you had Bryce in a room for 5 minutes and somebody said, okay, Jay, give him your best advice for 5 minutes, what would you tell him?
The best advice I would give him, it depends on what time of the season, but if it's today – and I'm watching it, I'm going to say, hey, buddy, I promise you it's going to get better. I'm telling you, it's going to, you feel like the world's caving in on you. And sometimes even the simplest routes that you can complete in your sleep, it's like it's a strain to complete them. I mean, that's the one thing that I would tell. I'm telling you, it's going to get better. The game will slow down because it can't slow down for him right now because it's just, He's taking care of his body and getting ready for the next week. Game plan. You can't take a step back. Okay, what do I have to work on? You know, is it this drop? Is it that drop? Is it this throw? Is my arm strength? I would just tell him, I promise you it's going to get better, and you just got to battle through this. You just got to battle through it and take it one play at a time. And I wish I would have listened to myself and taken it one play at a time sometimes. I mean, that's something that I battled with, you know, because it means so much to you. And sometimes you put so much pressure on yourself because you feel like, I'm not saying Bryce feels this way. I know I did. I hated looking my teammates in the eyes, knowing that I didn't do enough for us to win. That ate me alive when I didn't play well enough for my teammates to win. And so I know just watching him, it means a lot to him. It truly means a lot to him. And he wants to have the success. We're just not having it right now as a team. And it's not just him. There's a few players on the team that you can just sense it. It's the frustration part. But it was just, buddy, take a deep breath. We'll go all in on the Falcons this week. All in on the Falcons. Number one, know where Jesse Bates is at. That's number one. And that's one thing he's going to learn from week one. But Jesse Bates has done that to many quarterbacks this season. He's having a lights out year. Know where he's at. We're going to run the football well against this team. I just know we will because we're starting to do that. And then we're going to make plays in the passing game. All we need is one. We need just one big play in the passing game. And then you can start to see that pep in the step and things like that.
If we go by what you mentioned on Thielen's interview where he says, he'll never have a year like this again. So let's hope, you know, for all of our sakes, this is Bryce Young. So, you know, this is rock bottom, whatever they finished,
sure.
2-15 or whatever. What was your equivalent to that in your own football career? What was your rock bottom?
I think for me, starting wise, I probably hit rock bottom as a player in Carolina my last year. I thought my skills were diminishing, to be quite honest. And it just wasn't, you know, I thought Mike McCoy was such an instrumental part in what we did, being our quarterback coach. And he and Steve had a relationship, a deep relationship. You know, both Utah grads. And it was just, I don't know, there was just something about it, you know. And with Dan Henning, and then Mike Leff went to Denver to be the OC. And it just, that year, it was probably more me. I probably tried too much. Probably, it's going to sound stupid, probably worked too hard. As much effort possible, but I wouldn't transfer over from the practice field to the game field. It's like, for whatever reason, and when we won a game, I didn't enjoy it. It was a relief. And when we lost the game, I just beat myself up over it. Why? I don't know. I don't know if because it was age at that time. I could sense the end was getting close, and I didn't like maybe what I looked like on film. You know, I go back to the 2004 season. We're coming off a Super Bowl. I get a big contract. And we start out 1-7. And we were a shell of our Super Bowl team with all the injuries. But that's where a time where it was like, where are we going to get the next win? Where is it going to come from? And we're in San Fran playing a bad San Francisco football team. And I can't remember if we were down at half or it just, we weren't playing well. And for whatever reason, in the second half, it just clicked with a few of us. It just like, just go play. Quit worrying about whatever. Let's just go play. Made a play here, made a play there. Next thing you know, we win, and we win 6 out of 8. And that propelled us for the following year when we go back to the NFC Championship game. So, you know, it's just when it means something to you, I think that's when you know you truly care. Well, if it doesn't really mean a ton to you, and yeah, you like football, you're getting paid handsomely. Well, look, it's just one of them years we're not playing well. I wasn't that guy. I don't think Bryce is that guy. You can just tell he's not, that's not what his makeup is.
How is it in the booth with Luke? You mentioned that, and, you know, give us a little behind the scenes on the radio, you know, side of things where you're a constant, but sometimes some other people, Anish is a constant too. Just sort of give people who don't, you know, maybe hear you that often, sort of what a normal Sunday's like.
Well, you talk about in the booth or just the whole thing?
Whatever is the funniest story, Jake.
I don't know if that's a funny story. It's just, you know, Luke and I, and it's, I knew him a little bit when he played because I wasn't around much. And I knew how much Jordan thought of him and the guys and Ryan Vermillion, the guys I was real close with. I knew what they thought of him as a player and certainly watched him play and all that. But watching, being in the booth with him, I think we both, the reason we like doing this is that we bleed Carolina blue. It's just very simple. We love the Panthers. And we just want success for them. You know, we're like, I don't think we look at it as a job. Like after a game, it kind of feels like we lost as a player. I mean, that's what, because, you know, prepping during the weekend, we don't put nearly the work as you did as a player, but like watching the film, preparing for the next game or rewatching our game just to check something out or and things like that. And okay, how's this going to play out? We go down to watch the other team warm up just to see them physically. I think one thing is to look at them on tape. I like to watch them physically. I know quarterback. I want to see the ball come off his hand, things like that. And then just watching the game with them, like I get to watch from the defensive perspective, the science perspective behind the defense. I watch him look at formation. Everything with them is all formations. It's formations. What are they going to run? Or where's the split? Is it a tight split? It's an enough split. Mm-hmm. And just watch him process it, and he'll just hit me like if he thinks a screen's coming. You know, just how he sees the game, and that's how he played. And that's great for me to see because as a quarterback, I looked at it different. You know, I broke the huddle. It's first thing first, I got to make sure we lined up correctly. Are we all going to the same spot? What's my play clock? Where is it at? If I have a shift, if I have a motion, what's my check? What's the safety rotation? What's the line front? All those things are going through your mind, and he's looking at it the same way. What's their formation? How are they lining up? Is it something I recognize? And so those are the things that I think we both love, and I don't think that we talk over each other in the booth. I don't think I like to think we have big egos, but we're not so big that I just want to say something like, if he's got a point to say, he goes. We don't talk over each other. And I think I'm hopeful that the people listening, that they hear it, that, yes, we have a Panther tilt. We're tilted toward the Panthers. We want to see them succeed.
Of course.
We have Panther blue lenses. Yeah. Absolutely. But we're going to try to be as objective as possible. And, you know, we want to see us have success. We want our team to have success. And that's something that, you know, you hear Luke yesterday, just in the Saints game yesterday, he talked about, it's the same offense Drew Brees ran, exact same offense. And they run these sets where it's a big play action fake and it's two guys down the field, big post and a big crosser. And you visualize Drew making that fake, getting set, and he's taking a shot. If not, he's right through the check down. Well, Derek Carr did that yesterday. It's not as quick as Drew made those decisions. But it wasn't there, boom, check down. And I remember they got 70 yards on one of the plays, and Luke talked about it. You have to know in studying this that, okay, it's one, it's two, now he's going on a check down. You have to watch his head. If he didn't go to the first one, then go to the second one, well, he's recognized that by the formation pretty much and the action. So he knows it's one, two, and I have to hug up on the tight end or the dump down guy immediately. Things like that, those are the things that's what I enjoy the most in the booth. Listening to the mad scientists as I kind of look at Luke, diagnose an offense. And I'm thinking the same thing in my mind. Like, well, yeah, when we ran those plays, I'm looking for Steve. I'm looking for Moose. And I know I have my backside tied in who's just going to leak out. He's protecting 1001, 1002. He's helping. Then he's going to leak out. Well, my hand's looking a certain way. That defender's going to get lazy and drop, and I'm going to go back to him. So you just I like hearing that on his end, and I'm thinking exactly what the quarterback should be thinking. This is where I'm going. He's going to have space. And so that's was the fun part about it, just kind of going back and forth, and timeouts happen, and we both say, I would call this, or I would do that. You know, the fandom, I guess you could say, comes out in us in that regard, and what would I do different? And because it's so easy to see it from the booth, I have to catch myself sometimes saying, you know what? You were pretty bad many times when you played. So it's not as easy as it looked from up here.
Well, y'all do a great job. I always enjoy listening to. I was not in New Orleans yesterday. And on the TV, it sounded like that there was some booze from the home crowd sometimes when they punted for the fifth time in a row, the Saints or whatever. What was like the atmosphere like? I mean, you played the millions of games in the Superdome. What was it like yesterday?
In our words, and we said it all pregame, because we go on the air 2 hours before the game for about 10 minutes. Then we have a little 30-minute break. We go back on for about 7 minutes and about a 40-minute break. So we'll go up and down, and we would just – there's no juice. There was no juice. And the Superdome, you felt it, but – they were so spoiled since 2006, to be quite honest. You know, Sean Payton, Drew Brees, and that whole era. When Drew lined up, they knew they had a chance to win. And that crowd would get into it, and it was a true dome field advantage. There's not a good relationship right now with that fan base and the quarterback and, you know, the head coach. Yeah. There's some issues going on, and you can sense it. You can feel it. I do know the week prior against Detroit, there was many, many blue and silver fans there. And anytime Derek would come on the field, the boos would rain down. And when Taysom Hill would come in for that package that they do with Taysom, the crowd would cheer. And so yesterday you didn't hear it as much because Taysom was inactive.
Yeah,
but it was there were some boos. That it's like the belief is not truly there on that football team, because that's still a really talented fit. There's some talent on that team. They have a lot of talent. This Chris Olave is a special player, man. He's a really special player.
You need a Chris Olave here.
I tell you what, he would help. He would help. And then and Alvin Kamara, just asking Luke yesterday, it doesn't look like he slowed down. And Luke talked about how difficult it was preparing for Kamara. And how strong he was. That was the thing that Luke talked about. He is so strong and so powerfully built. But yeah, it was a it wasn't the true dome advantage yesterday, to be quite honest.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Speaking of that, certainly there's been some Panther games this year that have looked similar. The Cowboys, yeah, particularly. We're going to see another one on Christmas Eve with the Packers.
Right.
If you were going to speak to fans, I mean, do you sort of – because you're in a unique position. You're a super quarterback. You're also kind of a super fan of the league and of this team. I mean, what would you tell Panther fans right now? Because right now they're in a, six straight losing season. You can sort of understand their frustration, can't you?
No, you absolutely can. It's a listen, tickets are expensive, and you go to the game. It's a lot of money to go to the game if you bring your kids and you express your frustration, and that's your right. To be quite honest, very lucky in my time in Carolina, we didn't have many of those type seasons, type games. Listen, if ever we played Dallas, there was always going to be some Dallas fans. A few times we played Green Bay. They show up. Those fans, that's just big. Even Pittsburgh Steelers, we didn't play them much because it's a different conference, but the Steeler fans would show up. The Redskins are the Commanders now, but when they came, out this country, we used to be the Panther area used to be the Washington fans. Yep. So, listen, it's hard. It's difficult. I'm not so sure what it'll be like this weekend with Atlanta. I'm not so sure that fan base is overly optimistic about their football team, to be quite honest. So I just think we just want to give them something to cheer about. We want to cheer along with them. You know, I mean, that's something that we want to see. And it's been difficult the last couple of years. It really and truly has. It's been difficult. And there's nothing better as a player than hearing Sweet Caroline playing after the game. And we haven't had that much. And so it's hard. And Christmas Eve, I'm hopeful on the Christmas Eve game. Yeah, Green Bay will have their fans. But I'm hopeful there's many Panther fans that have come in town, people that lived in Charlotte, they're coming in town for the holidays, and they're going to go to the game, and they're going to go enjoy an early Christmas Eve football game. So that's what I'm hopeful for. But listen, it's been difficult. Fans have their right to express displeasure. I get that. And the only way to get them on your side is to play well and win and get the stadium back rocking. I mean, there's just no other way. That's how you get them back.
Two more things I want to ask you, Jake. The first one is, in 2001, of course, the team went 1-15. You weren't here yet, but they were. Right. This year reminds me a lot of that one. And in 2003, I remember us counting up on the roster. 20 people from that 01 team that lost 15 games were still on the 03 team that y'all took to the Super Bowl. So my first question is, roughly, if it goes incredible and the Panthers are back in the Super Bowl in 2 or 3 years, or let's just say 2 for the sake of this argument, how many players on this team do you think could make that leap and be on a team that could make the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's such a tough. I mean, one, your roster kind of flips every year. I mean, usually it flips, and certainly the what we've done this year on the field, and there will be a new football coach. So no matter what, that roster is going to start to churn. Oh gosh. You'd love to say there's 20 of them. Is there, I'm not sure, but I do think there's some pieces on this team that can definitely help us get there. I'm a big believer, Scott, a team wins the Super Bowl, we automatically crown them the favorite for the next year, right? Oh my gosh. They're going to be here for years.
Right.
I think a team can get older and worse a whole lot quicker than a bad team can get better. I think a bad team can get better in a switch in this league. I truly believe that. You hit on a couple of draft picks, and when I mean hit, you get a third, a fourth rounder, a fifth rounder. I mean, you have one of those drafts where you draft Steve Smith in the third, or Will Witherspoon in the third, Chris Jenkins in the second. You start hitting one or two of those along with your first round pick and some of these young guys that are ascending, you can get good quick. I truly believe that. And I think you can go the other way even quicker. Mahomes, they'll never go away because he's the unicorn. He's phenomenal. But you saw it in Tampa. I mean, they went it with Tom, and that was an older team, older veteran team, and they started kind of going the other way. Even last year, they weren't a threat in the playoffs last year. Everybody knew that. That was not a team you were threatened by. We're up by 11 against them the second to last game of the season. So in the fourth quarter, we ran out of defensive backs, to be quite honest. And so, you know, I think there's some pieces, and definitely one of them you want to start with is Derrick Brown. The year he's having, he doesn't get talked about enough. He doesn't get talked about what he does, the plays that he plays, the disruption that he brings, and what he does to quality offensive linemen in front of him.
Do you think he might be their MVP right now, would you say?
Oh, he's mine, 100%. He's mine. Yeah. There's no doubt. I've been saying it the last few weeks, and he just shows up week in and week out. It's just weekly. It's what he does. I just think what he does week in and week out. Burns had the elbow deal this year. He missed the game from a concussion, and you don't see exactly what he can do because, let's be honest, we're trailing in the third and fourth quarter when teams start to draw back the pass, and it becomes that one-dimensional type of offense, and that's where those numbers start to rack up. And, you know, because yesterday he affected Derek many times in the pocket by beating the tackle immediately, and Derek had to step up and go, and sure enough, there's Derek Brown, there's somebody else, you know, Frankie Louvu coming in. So that's difficult, but Derek Brown, you know, overall for me in totality, he has been by far the brightest light.
Let's end on a happy note, Jake, because we've had to talk. Anytime you're talking about a 1-12 team, there's a lot of issues, right? But I'm going to ask my final question. We'll be nostalgic for a minute because I love this story. You've told it to me before, but I'd like everyone to hear it. The 85-yard touchdown pass in the Super Bowl against New England. A lot of things went on that play, and I'll just leave it for you there. Just tell people, you know, in some detail what you saw and how you managed to throw that ball to Muhammad for what I think is still the longest touchdown pass in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's just a little more history. Like, so we scored four touchdowns in the Super Bowl. The first one was on a play called 82 Colt, Why Not? When I'm telling you, that's one of the first dropback passes that was installed that spring. That was one of the first. The next touchdown we scored on was on quick 31 trap. We had two running plays in our two-minute situation. We had 40 draw and quick 31 trap. Day one install, quick 31 trap. The third touchdown was one of our two-minute plays called 72 Reno. Day one install. It's in the vernacular of the West Coast offense, it was 76X shallow cross. I mean, all the plays are the same. They just have different names. And then the fourth touchdown is Exxon. That was a play-action pass. That's a day one install for Dan Henning's offense, Kevin Gilbride's offense. Eli Manning ran Exxon year after year after year with the New York Giants.
Exxon, built like the gas station Exxon? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's Exxon, E-X-X-O-N. Okay. That's the play. And so it's a kind of a three-man combination. You have a big alert go slash post. Mm-hmm. You have an under coming by either the tight end. We ran it many times to the tight end, or Ricky Prohl coming under. And you have Steve Smith running a backside in or dig. So you're kind of high-lowing the backside linebacker, that area right there. If they jump up on the under, you get Steve, you know, on the in route behind them. So anyway, we call that play, and Patriots are pretty good on defense, to say the least. They were difficult. There's just no question. They were just difficult. And listen, I had protection in that game. I had some protection. I was able to slide. Moose was not open initially because they were playing off. And so I kind of slid and really didn't like the under and Steve coming in. And so I had a couple of checkdowns I possibly could have gone to, but I say I got flushed, knowing me and my terrible drops, I probably drifted too much to the left. And you look in, and to Moose's credit, he never stopped. And that's something that I'm telling you that means a lot when guys just don't stop. And sometimes there's a saying, you have to run for the love of the game sometimes, knowing you're not going to probably get this pass, but you've got to run to make sure you run the route correctly. And Ricky Prohl was phenomenal at that, because he allowed Steve Smith that year to get so many in routes, because Ricky would run from the slot, run through the safety. Then the safety had to honor him. And so there was a cavity and a void for Steve to come in. So Moose, to his credit, never stopped. And I could just see him. I just let it go. The safety's out. They're out of position. Moose is past him. So let it go. Moose catches it. And, Moose was so difficult to bring down because of the sheer strength in his hands. And safety came to him. And so a little light stiff arm, a light that it looked, but it was a stiff arm, and Moose scored. So, good memory.
85 yards. If I remember, you spun the ball in your hands too, like turned it all the way.
I probably did. I've always done that. That's something that, I like to have a certain feel on a football. That's going to sound so crazy. Everybody has their quirks, and you can get a bag full of footballs. There's no doubt. And you can ask Andy Dalton or Bryce Young this or any one of the quarterbacks. You can have a bag full, and I promise you, you can just put your hand in there and not look, and you're going to just start to feel, and you're going to know, okay, that's a good one. It's just, for whatever reason, Carson Palmer and I did that one time at the quarterback challenge. It was a long ball competition, and we were both fighting. We went to the balls first to hurry up and get one, and we were both doing the same thing because it's just a certain feel. But, yeah, anytime there was any type of dampness or kind of sweat, because Jeff Mitchell was our center, and he wasn't afraid of sweating, perspiring, to say the least. So if I didn't like it, I didn't have that good of a, like, it felt too, I'd spin in it real quick. And I think a lot was due to South Louisiana humidity, training camps and all that. I got used to just spinning real quick and getting just a better feel, whatever reason. It just, it did my mind right, I guess you could say.
How far could you throw a ball at your height in a long ball competition?
It's funny. I went to the quarterback challenge twice, and I came out third both times. And the two guys that outthrew me were both Carson Palmer and Byron Leftwich. So I was like about a 72-yarder-ish, somewhere around there. Yeah, I could, somewhere around there. They would always go a little bit further.
Third in a, yeah, I remember the quarterback. I don't know. Does that exist now, the quarterback challenge?
No, I don't think it does, man. Well, I went twice, and it was awesome. I had a ball doing that. That was a lot of fun.
Well, Jake, I can't thank you enough for joining us here and talking Panthers. It's just such a pleasure, and you're very kind to joining us on Process and Wood.
Well, no, I appreciate it, and I got my Panther sweatshirt on, right now. It's and that wasn't for this. I had it on all day. And it's the day after the Saints game in Louisiana, but I still wore it today. I'll wear it proud, and we're going to get it turned around. Would I like it sooner rather than later? Absolutely. I think we all would. And so, hopefully we can maybe eke out a win or two heading into the offseason, and we'll have a new coach and a new season of hope, I guess you could say.
That's a good note to close on. I want to thank everyone always for listening. If you haven't already, please subscribe and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. For those who watch us on YouTube, please subscribe to our YouTube channel for Processing Blue and click on the bell icon to get notified of whenever new episodes drop. Finally, be sure to stick to charlotteobserver.com for all the latest Carolina Panthers news and analysis. I want to again thank our special guest today, Jake DeLome, and we'll see you next time.